This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and today we're talking about pursuing passion in marriage. And we are so thankful to have wisdom from the unstoppable 3-8 marriage, Kate and Jared Shaughnessy. This couple is dynamic and powerful, as the 3-8 pairing typically suggests. And we are so happy we get to learn from them about how they found passion even through problems and hard times in their marriage. So I'm so excited for you to learn from them. They have 4 beautiful daughters. They have been together for over a decade, and they are truly thriving. And they're not either saying they don't have stress or hard times, but they have found their way. And we almost called this episode, don't run when I say this, Love and Lord of the Rings. Not at all, because they really like Lord of the Rings, but you'll see why later. You're probably thinking I bring stuff like this in with actual trying, and I don't. It just comes to me. So when they do talk about Lord of the Rings, trust me, I literally had nothing to do with it. And don't worry, it's super brief, but just funny. So before we get into our talk together, I want to give you guys a couple heads up. One of them is, I hope that you had a nice time with the Super Bowl. We had it here in Tampa, so we were thinking about that. My husband loved to play football and spend some time with family and nieces. And then this weekend, I hope you end up having a really good Valentine's Day. Don't forget, we have a coupon code right now, Valentine, and you can get 20% off any of our Love With merchandise or Enneagram Glow Guides. So I'm super thankful to be able to do that sale with Ray of Light, and I'm excited to share that glow with you. Yeah, we want you to glow together, just like you'll hear the 3-8 in their journey together. These glow guides can give you usually a quicker way to finding that place of moving forward together in your marriage. And it doesn't mean that will be easy. I've had people tell me, I got my glow guide and my spouse won't go through it with me. But I do believe that as you grow and change in a family system, your spouse will have to take a step either forwards or backwards with you. So that's something that I love from my family systems research. And I just believe it with all my heart that you can make healthy changes for your whole system. And that does not mean you control the other person, but you just keep getting healthy. I want to encourage you. You're doing the right thing if you're doing that, no matter what you're doing. So I'm grateful. I also got so far into research this weekend that some of you on Instagram probably wonder, where do I go sometimes once a month? And as I know a lot of you can relate, we have to rest and find our solitude. And I was so happy to see Sarah Jane Case posting about that at Enneagram and Coffee this week. I noticed that she was mentioning those quiet days. And I think those are really important for those of us who love social media and find our comfort there. We have to remember that sometimes we can have a frenzy there. So even I have to remember that too. And so of course, I dug right into something my brother and I connect on, which is family research. So we got really into genealogy this weekend, and we had a lot of fun with that too, even amidst the Super Bowl. And he's a huge football person, so I didn't even bother calling him during that time. But we did some good genealogy, and sometimes I just need a break from social media. So if you see me taking a break, it's for replenishment. It's for trying to rest. And I think that's part of what I want to encourage you guys with too, is don't forget to rest. Don't forget to put the phones down. Yes, podcasts can be great, but I even have had to talk to clients about that. And this year, all my clients and I have been cracking up, because all the other years combined, it's like 20 years or so of talking to people and saying, like, watch TV less. And this year, because everything else has been so crazy with Twitter and Parler and who knows what else, it's like when somebody is doing a Netflix just chill time and putting the phones down, I'm like, yay, like, you guys are the most romantic couple ever. So totally don't worry if your Valentine's Day is just literally sitting and enjoying and just cuddling or trading turns, like, first we're going to watch my show, then yours. I love it. It's cold. It's freezing cold for those up north. So I know that you guys need to just chillax. So enjoy it. I hope you have a good V-Day, even if it's just you, even if it's a Galentine's Day. Yes, if it's Galentine's, make sure you watch your Parks and Rec. But let's get into our episode now too, that we've done these announcements, because we have to dig in here with our 3 and our 8. So I really hope you love what they share on the episode as much as I did. And just learning from somebody else's story helps you to see that, yeah, passion is important, but also just plugging in and living with grit and hard work and intention is too. So don't be daunted if right now you're like, oh, we're not that passionate. Trust me, there's a lot you can learn from what goes on behind the scenes with a couple this passionate. So I'm excited for you to hear. Okay, guys, I'm so glad I am here with Jared and Kate Shaughnessy, and we are so thankful to be able to talk to you guys about the 3-8 Unstoppable Marriage today. Hi, guys.
Hi, Krista.
Hey. I'm so happy you're here with me. It's so much fun to get to talk to couples, and especially this assertive, fun couple. So we are representing the whole assertive stance now today with 3, 7, and 8. Isn't that cool?
Oh, that's so fun.
You guys are going to get a power-packed episode, that's for sure. So we want to talk to you guys a little bit about, we're going to hear about their types, how they met. We're going to hear about their kids, and they just have such a big, fun life. I got to know Jared and Kate through Instagram. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do professionally.
So I am a full-time firefighter in the town of Whitestown, Indiana. And then Kate and I together have partnered to open a business called Lash and Brow Design Company. We have become an overnight success through about 12 years of hard work.
Love it. Oh my gosh. So you have a business together and you're a firefighter. Thank you guys so much for serving our community with both help physically and beauty care. That is beautiful. I love that. And then Kate, you have something special that you do as well, not besides raising 4 kids and running a business. Can you tell us a little bit about your athletics?
Like Jared said, I'm the hands-on in the business. I'm an esthetician, lash extensions, and permanent makeup. But in that, I was overweight and just really struggling with like my body and pain. And, you know, it's a very physical job. You're bending over a table all day. And so about 7, 8 years ago, I lost like 80 pounds and entered the world of bodybuilding. So it's been super fun and lots of bodybuilding and competitions. Mm-hmm. It's just been lots of fun.
Oh my goodness. That is really cool. And we're going to definitely show you guys their website and things like that. But this is a very fit couple. So for me to hear that you lost a ton of weight, I would not have known that unless I had taken that deeper look. So thank you so much for sharing that you have come a long way on the journey and you didn't just arrive with your business or your body today, right?
Oh my goodness. Lots of work.
Oh, wow. And so tell us who's the 3 and who's the 8 in this dynamic.
So I am a 3-wing 4 and Jared is an 8-wing 7.
Okay. And how did you meet? I want to hear how a power couple like this catches each other's eyes. This is so curiosity inspiring.
I'll let him tell it because he does the way faster version.
Okay.
We could go through an entire hour just on this story. So I'll give you the short romantic version.
Okay.
So Kate and I found each other at the church youth group. It was the summer after I had graduated. I had graduated when I was 17. Kate was going into her junior year and was 16. I went up to her at she came up to me after youth group and sat next to me at the McDonald's and messed with my frayed top visor. I don't know if you remember, those used to be a thing.
Yes, I do. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that era.
And I was enthralled. She was so pretty. But more than that, like her personality, that like fun, flirtatious attitude was intriguing to me. And she was new. And I'd been going to the youth group for a little bit. So new was like, hey, girl, hey. And so we made plans to see each other the next Sunday. And off we were to the races. I mean, her parents, they said that there was so much electricity between us that they could have powered their house for a year. I mean, it was the summer of love. It was just super hot and heavy, dating all the time. I mean, we just like literally could not spend enough time with each other. That went on for a few months. And then I unfortunately made a terrible choice and kissed another girl. And we broke up. Both of our hearts were broken at that point. Like, I was absolutely devastated that I made this choice. She was devastated for a whole host of other reasons, you know. And a lot of this, you know, looking back now, so much of this is rooted in our motivations and our fears surrounding our numbers, right? We broke up. 9/11 happened, and shortly thereafter, I made the decision to join the military. So off I went to the Army. I was absent for, 20 weeks during basic training, AIT, and then airborne school. I came home, and during that entire time that I was gone, I had continued communication with Kate. I had continued to call her, and she would not give me the time of day. I mean, and she made it very obvious during this time too. Like, she was absolutely done with me. I would, you know, get one phone call in a week, and I'd call Kate, and she would answer the phone. What do you want?
Wow,
my heart was so sad. I was playing hard to get.
Ooh, I kind of like hearing that from a three for a minute there, though. But go ahead.
It was hard. So, but you know, hey, I came home. She was working at the mall, and I showed up at the mall with 12 roses in uniform, and that's key. You got to know your audience, right?
Yes.
She was like putty in my hands. So I invited her to a soup, like, you know, like one of those old rom-coms, you know, like a super romantic movie. It was called Lord of the Rings 2.
Oh my gosh. And
yeah, I know. Super romantic.
That's the best ever. Now right, I'm like so happy. Okay, go ahead.
Right in the middle of one of the most epic. It was like the Battle of Sounds Deep or whatever it's called.
Helm's Deep.
I mean, Helm's Deep.
Oh, she knew the word. Wow. Okay.
I leaned over and kissed her, and wow, we were back together.
Oh,
it was amazing. Lightning, bolts, and sunshine.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm like beaming. Joy is like beaming off the ceiling. Love with Lord of the Rings. It doesn't get any better than this.
That's what you can title this. Right? You can title this episode Love with Lord of the Rings.
Seriously.
Well,
I love
that.
It.
That was like the start, but obviously we had so much growth. We were both 20 when we got married. I was at this place in my life where I could sense that I was getting the vibe that it was like time to, you know, make a move, right? It was, as they say, shit or get off the pot. And I, you know, looking back, I was absolutely not ready to be married. That seven wing was coming out, but also the eights fear of abandonment was strong at play there. And so for that first year, I mean, that first year was an absolute nightmare. I was heavily addicted to pornography. I was a liar. I mean, like it was a definitive part of my character for that year. I was just making terrible decisions. And during that time, Kate was super loyal, and she would make excuses at church, like why Jared isn't here. And she just stuck by with me. And then finally, like it was that millionth time where I was getting caught in the lie again. And she finally was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And she contacted her friend at church whose dad was a pastor and was like, I need somebody to basically give me permission to divorce this guy.
As the three, being the rule follower, you know, just wanting to that appearance, right, of like I'd shown up and done everything right. I wanted just the stamp of like, hey, this is what this is. But the, you know, the heartbreak was there, but the walls had already started to go up. And that's something that's so important. And, you know, and I think it talks, there's so much about like grieving that people just don't work through, you know, and you hear this, especially if you've grown up in any kind of a like religious home of this like magical, or what I think a lot of girls even have of like, it's going to be this fairy tale marriage. And people talk about like this, like honeymoon first year. And I think mm-hmm. that does happen. But I think that if you don't work through the baggage that both people bring to marriage, you aren't going to get that. And so God just, I mean, got a hold of both of our hearts, helping me mm-hmm. with like the bitterness and mm-hmm. The anger, and God radically getting a hold of Jared's heart. We had a man who we both love and adore still to this day. His name is John Schmidler. Mm-hmm. And he was, I'm not quite sure what number he is. He's got to have an 8. So I don't know, maybe 7 wing 8 or something, but he's, mm-hmm. he just was a strong enough man to mm-hmm. meet Jared where Jared needed to be met. Mm-hmm. And some massive like heart choices, right? Because we know 8s, like when they make up their minds, like they're there.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it was just like this huge shift for Jared.
Like my life, when she says my life was radically changed, she's not wrong. I mean, this was the moment where I made that choice. Like I am a Jesus follower. I am mm-hmm. going to... I was going one way and I turned 180 degrees. And now granted, it did not happen overnight. And Kate can tell you like, it probably took 7 years for the damage and mm-hmm. all of the things that I had done mm-hmm. for the consequences of those things to finally kind of flesh their way through our marriage mm-hmm. and for us to work through a lot of that trauma that I had caused. Mm-hmm. But during that time, I mean, this was like, it was so amazing. Before this moment, it's so funny. 8s and 3s can make money like nobody's business, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When we are healthy, but we were not healthy and we were so broke, so destitute. It was like God was stripping away every single thing, every distraction so that we could finally wake up to the realization that we are not healthy and we desperately need help. Mm-hmm. And when we finally got to that place, you know, we were actually able to like look at this marriage in a different light and be able to say, I want something more and I want something better. And please, dear God, help me. Mm-hmm. And when we got to that place, it was a process, but we started to work through forgiveness, reconciliation, learning so many of the aspects of what make a marriage work that we just didn't have before.
Oh my gosh, I'm so touched that you guys can tell us this really takes time to flesh through these things. I like hearing that you guys had to process, because that's real for our listeners and you're being vulnerable. Thank you for it, especially as an 8 and a 3 to tell us the truth. Those are some of your top gifts when you can really come around your Enneagram work, that you can be strong and yet vulnerable. And also with your 3, you can actually be very truthful. Thank you so much for that. Now, Kate, was that really hard for you to stay open?
Yeah. So it's so interesting, because as a 3, we want it to look like this picture perfect marriage, and you've got this, and you know, the shining knight in armor. And so it's interesting, because we both are huge fans of also Brené Brown. And so when she talks about like the shame piece, and it's so interesting how people don't allow other people's stories to be heard because shame is so prevalent in our society. And so especially sometimes I feel like it can happen in the churches, you know? And so that was something that was hard, of saying like, hey, me too. And I think that's something that has allowed that openness to stay there, because I think there's so many me too moments that we can have with other people where they can take off the mask and take down those defenses and put the shame away and say, yeah, me too. I've had that. And there's been times where, you know, I want to just, you know, put a nail on the wall and hang my husband on that hook and walk away. So I just think
in a good way,
totally good way. Best way possible.
Yep. Gotcha. I love the realness, guys, because people are like, oh, we should always be happier. We should not be married and we shouldn't have a family. And it's so important to know these feelings are normal, especially with kids.
And speaking of this, right? Speaking of that, we got married in 2004. Mm-hmm. And I said 7 years of working through the trauma and the damage and the lies and all of those things. We had our first baby in 2007. Mm-hmm. So three years into that 7-year process.
Right.
Yeah.
So good things happen. Now that was probably really rough too, though.
Oh, there was still so much. Yeah. So much hard in that. I mean, in the midst of, you know, creating a family, I mean, we got pregnant, we actually lost our first little girl. And then we had, Chloe, who is our first one. She's 13 now. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that, we then had our other daughter, Annalise. Mm-hmm. After that, in 2009. And that was also the year. So while I was pregnant with her, it was when I decided to go on my own and open my own business. Mm-hmm. So I was 6 months pregnant. Jared was actually in school full time and working full time. Wow. And just busy, right? And then we ended up having two more kids. So by the time my youngest was born, the ages were 4, 3, 15 months and a newborn.
Wow.
So 4 and under.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You guys had to be so strong and also so tired.
Yes. So tired.
And how old are your kids now? Just so we can get a gauge.
13, 11. Aww. Well, she's soon to be 12. So 13, I should say 12, or she'll be mad at me. 13, 12, 9 and 8.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Okay. Go ahead. That's just so cool.
Yeah. So in the midst of all of that, you know, you're growing a family. And I think that there are, you know, I wish I would have known the Enneagram before. Right. But there's things that I can look back at now and say, okay, this is why this makes sense. And, you know, allowing people to grieve, because when I hear grieving, you think, oh, when somebody passes away or whatever. Grieving is in so many areas of our life, you know, and as a three, like not loving that to sit and like hard in those emotions. But when you truly start to do that work and you work through, you know, and I know Suzanne's actually getting ready to do a whole thing on it, which is great. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about that. Mm-hmm. But allowing yourself to grieve and allowing those hard things to come up and then to actually work through them, because what people see, right? Mm-hmm. And when we first got married, there was not really social media, but that's what people see. They see the picture perfect, right? Mm-hmm. You just started, I think you've been following us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You see the vacation, you know, you see what we've taken, or people see the success, but they don't see the work and the wars and the wounds that have taken you to get there. And that's the piece that so many people miss. And I think that when, you know, my heart in us being able to use our story as a voice is that if somebody is listening and they're in that hard right now and it's Valentine's Day and, you know, it's for the month of that, and they feel alone and they feel like they don't like their partner, that I can just say to them, like, me too. I have been there and it is hard, but hard is hard. Hard is not bad. And if you put in the work and, you know, there's somebody that is willing to help you guys work through it, it's, you're going to come on the other side of it. And I think so many people just, they don't know. And so they see this picture perfect world and they see everybody's highlight reel. And I think so many people just aren't willing to talk about the hard and the bad, because as a three, right, it just doesn't put that pretty face out there.
It's absolutely true. I was just having lunch with a friend, and we were Kate and I just got back from a vacation to Cancun, and we were having this moment. He's like, "Hey, man, how was vacation?" And I said, "Bro, day three." And he goes, "Oh, you had a day three, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, man, day three happens." And all of a sudden, you know, we're in paradise where it's gorgeous. It's 82 degrees, sunny. I'm on the beach under a, what did they call it? A Balinese bed. It's like one of those 4-post beds on the beach. I mean, it could not be more perfect.
Yes.
And what happens? Kate and I get into it. And we get into it about expectation, about we didn't have, I had started the process before we left of having that talk with Kate. Hey, Kate, I see in your bag that there are two books and a microblading machine, like a tattooing machine. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what your expectation is for vacation? So that way, when we get there, I understand what it is that you have in mind. I started that conversation. Unfortunately, I did not follow all the way through because we got to day three and my expectation of what the trip was going to be like and Kate's expectation were two totally different things. And that started and that started the hard conversation and the, you know, disappointment and the hurt feelings and the, you know, me being an eight saying, well, if that's the way you're going to be, then I guess you'll be here by yourself because I'm going to, you know, and right, just starting right. that, like that spiral, you know, that deadly spiral in a marriage. And it got to a point for me where I had to, one of the things that I'm really working on is how am I going to show up each day? Who, so in another way of saying it is who am I becoming? I started the day as Jared, you know, Jared 1.0. And by the end of the day, I want to be Jared 2.0. So ooh, what, like what are the, I know it's been revolutionary for me. So I try to think of like three adjectives that describe who I need to become that day. And those three words are going to be so different based on my day. If I'm going to be with my daughters all day, then the words might be gentle, slow to anger, patient. Ugh, don't like that one. But if I'm going to be at the, if I'm going to be at the fire department, my words might be leader, outspoken, strong. Or if I'm going to be at Lash and Brow with my team, I might need to be inspirational, encouraging, you know, whatever. So that day though, at, on the beach, I'm having it out with Kate and having that moment where it's like, I need to die to myself right now. And knowing that if I go the path that my eight typically wants to go down, I'm going to be vindictive. I'm going to say words that are going to be sharp and hurtful because I don't want to get hurt. So I'm going to say the things that are going to make me not get hurt because I put up my strong face. Or I could choose to be gentle and soft and die to myself and die to my own like sense of pride. And the result is going to be that it's not going to fix it immediately, right? However, I might be closer to a better relationship with Kate by the end of that conversation than before.
Yes, that's such a good reminder that it's not a magic fix when you finally do turn that corner and decide to be that 2.0 version of yourself. Or another way I look at it is, who's going to be the first one to love today? And I did that last night with Wes. I could tell he'd had a long day and it was really hard. And I just hopped into bed. And what I wanted to say was, is everything okay? But I knew that that would not be the right thing to say. Cause you know how like, it can be like a very long combo. It's like that trick question sometimes. So I was right about to say it. And I saw that look and I was like, be the first to love. I said something like, do you want me to scratch your back or just whatever, something sweet. And it really disarmed us. And that's what I'm hearing. But it wasn't like if I then would have gone in with the kill, that that would have been good. Or if Jared would have said right then, second question is, let me ask you about the microblading, you know? It's like you have to keep going in the right direction. That 2.0 version has to keep on moving. So I love that. And I love how you said with your kids, it's different too. You're both of you are aggressive and assertive stances. So do your kids like it when you slow down and become gentle, or do they expect you to be up all the time? Because sometimes mine expect me to be up all the time. So I was just curious about yours.
Well, I know they say you aren't supposed to type your kids, but I feel like you can start to see numbers pop through. So if I would guess right now and just watching that, we have a 3, 2 8s and a 7.
Oh, wow. Oh, my.
Yeah.
What an energetic brood.
Yes. And so it's different with each one of them. And obviously, like the eights, it looks very different, you know, with versus my three or my seven. And so I find with me for a three, it's interesting how Jared has a thing saying, these are my three words. I think each number maybe has something that they have to kind of focus on. For me, what I have noticed has really helped with health is, how can I slow down today? And I find that when I find that when I am purposely looking for ways to be slower, it just changes normally, where threes can just kind of like run over people because we're running so fast. It's so unintentional though. And so I think that for me is when I start to see it soften with like my kids. I mean, even just with like friendships or, you know, relationships, things like that, is instead of having 12 things on my to-do list that day, I maybe cut it down to six and say, okay, like, let's just do these. And it allows room for conversations. It allows room for just discussions to happen that I think sometimes don't, because we feel like that whole, this could have been an email. Conversation happens. And with threes, it's that reminder of, I feel like for Jared, my daughter who's a three will say, why is dad being so aggressive? And, you know, Jared and I will get in a conversation and she's like, it's, he's just so aggressive. And he will look at that and say, I'm not aggressive, you know, and
I'm just being assertive.
Right.
So I think it's just really interesting when, you know, what other people perceive as aggressive or moving fast, that just really great reminder. And I think that's been one of my favorite things about the Enneagram, is being able to learn. I mean, so much growth, you know, in learning, oh, okay, so when I see me moving here, you know, this is me moving in unhealth. And, you know, I love it. I have a therapist and she actually specializes in the Enneagram. And she says to me all the time, for three, I have to go slow to go fast. And she's not wrong. It's so true. I mean, a huge proponent of therapists, I think they're amazing, but it is so true. As going through Brené Brown's like rumbling process, that's been a huge thing, I feel like, for Jared and I both in conversations. And you can actually, if you're not familiar with that, you can actually look it up online. And it's literally a series of questions. And I think, but that takes time to sit down and work through, because it's not just like a fast, oh, this was hard, push it to the side and let's put something else in front of me to distract it.
Right. Absolutely. No, that makes so much sense. And I love her rumbling process. And I do love that you're giving people actual tips they can take from you guys, because I know there are others similar. And you bring in the great point that, yeah, sometimes your kids will like that you're assertive / aggressive, and sometimes they won't. And different people and friendships will perceive you differently. So you do need different ways of moving in the world. And one of the names I did give to the 3-8 pairing when we did our glow guide was unstoppable. And you're right, you have to be unstoppable with good and with goals and with intentions, but you also have to be able to rest. So I love that you brought that in, because it was literally one of my next questions, which was, how can you guys that are unstoppable learn to rest a little bit? So thank you for saying how you pause, how you visit with your therapist. I want to ask you guys a little bit about how you rest together. And you said, and we know, like we said, it's Valentine's too. How do you guys even just plan for intimacy with such a big family?
Okay. So first top tip, top tip, quick set. At Lowe's, makes a keypad lock for your bedroom door.
Yes.
He's not wrong.
Life changing. And added benefit, you don't have to worry about one of your four daughters stealing your shoes.
Oh,
he's also not wrong.
Not my shoes, obviously.
Oh, I get it. Because the shoe was in the door.
There was something to try to keep the door closed. But no, like our oldest daughter is literally the same size as Kate now. And all of a sudden, Kate was finding her boyfriend jeans in Chloe's closet, or her, you know, hoodie in Annalise's. It was, So I think intimacy between these two is... it can be challenging for a variety of reasons.
Expectations, so many things.
Expectation. Two, a three has about 1,000 thoughts per minute rolling through their brain. If I did this, it would make the business better. If I did this, it would make, you know, it's just a constant thing. Mm-hmm. So for them to like be able to turn that side of their brain off in order to be present during intimacy is very challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do think it's interesting having a place where it's yours, which, you know, he's really not wrong. We do actually now have a keypad on our door.
You need that.
But I know it's hilarious, but it's truth. It's something that creating a space
lies
in your
the
room,
face of all of my fire safety protocols.
Oh my gosh, that is interesting.
But something in that that I had heard once was like, make your guys' room that it's yours. So don't have pictures of your parents in there, or don't have pictures, like things that is just going to make it
don't
a romantic
have pictures
space.
Of your kids. Yeah. Don't have so, pictures of your kids staring at you when you're trying to like set the mood.
There's actually an idea
in the Song of Solomon. And it talks about this place called En Gedi. Mm-hmm. And it was literally this like beautiful place that Solomon took his bride to that was just for them. It was absolutely gorgeous and very romantic. Mm-hmm. And so for us to be able to like set our room up in a way that is enticing for both of us, and not just like in a sexual romantic way, but even just as like an escape.
Yes.
So for us, that means that our children are really not allowed to just wander into our room. You know, the whole keypad idea, right? It means that we don't have any photos of kids, family, whatever in our room. This is our space for us. It means that Kate has not decorated in such a girly way that I feel uncomfortable. It's very gender neutral.
Yes.
And just like very realistic things that people can do, such as like engage all of your senses in your room. Have a special scent that you only use when you're going to be intimate. Because smell is such an important part of the human psyche that if you have a scent that you associate with being intimate, that will immediately help to put you in the mood. Not that it would work every time, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
But even like within that, creating things like, I mean, like what he said, like the gender neutral piece. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen people where they've done like boudoir, like not full blown boudoir photos, but you know, just like romantic, like romantic photos of each other together. And it's just something where having a nice smelling candle in there, trying to, for us, it is really the area that we try to keep very, very clean in our house, because clutter does really bother me. So I know for women, that's a good tip, is if you can keep that area clean, it's one less thing that like is in front of you.
Exactly. And, oh my gosh. Yes. I love that. That is so cool. Oh my gosh. Those are such good tips about romance in the bedroom. And it really is why I think I feel that the 3-8 pairing is one of the most romantic pairings of all. It isn't just because it's simply intuitive. It's because of the beautiful work you guys have put into it. And I hear the work in it as you talk about how the three needs to get her mind in the right thought process, or their mind. And then the eight needs to feel comfortable and safe, and like this logically fits with their schema. But I wanted to ask you guys real quick about your Enneagram glow guide for the 3-8. Did you guys feel that was helpful to you guys?
Yeah, it was great.
Dead accurate. I mean, like it was scary how accurate it was. I think for me, the thing, and maybe it's because at times I can be a little bit focusing on the negative, right? But the thing that captured my attention most of all was how eights show up in conflict. And the word that was used was vindictive. And I thought, and I wrote this down. I said, this word is so harsh and difficult to hear. And I hate it. Yet this is the voice in my head. That is the part of me that I have to murder as I am saying I am sorry. So what I'm talking about is like, again, as an eight, when we get into a conflict, it is so easy for me to be vindictive. And what I'm doing in that moment is I am trying to shove up a shield that prevents me from being hurt. That's really what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be so over the top strong and powerful and vindictive that I hurt you worse than you can ever hurt me because I am scared of being hurt. And that's like, oof. And so in moments of conflict with Kate, the part of me that I literally have to murder, I have to die to myself, is I am going to choose to not be vindictive, and I'm going to choose to be humble and to be the first to say, I'm sorry, to be the first to admit I didn't show up well in this moment. Please forgive me.
And he has done like the growth that I just can't even like begin to tell you. Like it's been amazing.
Oh my goodness, you guys, that is just absolutely beautiful. And I just am really excited for, I'm like getting into cheerleader mode. I'm like, really? Like, I'm that excited to have this shared with others. So those listening, I know, are so encouraged to see that modeled for them. And you guys will have to check out my Instagram to see their beautiful photos. And like they said, don't just look at the surface, think about what they're saying. These depths and the love they share has come through a great cost of sacrificing themselves at time. And that's true love. I love that, you guys. And where can we find you guys on social media or with your beautiful businesses?
Yeah. So our social media is Lash and Brow Design Co.
Awesome.
And I actually, I mean, I have a personal Instagram. It's a fitness. It's just Sparkle Fit for Life. And that's a lot more of our number like family four. Photos. The number four. Yeah. And then
Sparkle
Life.
Sparkle Fit, the number four, Life.
Okay, perfect.
So, yeah, Jared's not really on Instagram, so.
Yeah, no, that's okay. He is a busy dad, a fire boss. We just love it. You are just, and thank you for your service in the military, Jared.
That was my honor.
Wow, we're just so grateful for you guys, honestly. And I will put that in the show notes along with the Brené Brown link. And I really have just enjoyed our talk so much. It's so beautiful to see this pairing glow come to life. Thank you guys so much.
Krista, thank you so much. You are literally making a difference in people's lives, and we so appreciate you putting this out.
That's right.
Guys, we're a great team. Yay, I'm so glad you guys got to tune in. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links we talked about today. And I'm so grateful for our time together. I look so forward to next week. Happy Valentine's Day. If you need a gift, don't forget the Glow Guide Valentine code or your Love With merch. And you can also visit enneagramandmarriage.com because I actually have saved a lot of our old freebies there too. So if you're catching up from past episodes and you want to get something from one of those episodes that you saw was a past freebie, like intimacy conversations or around the table or learning about subtypes, you head on over to enneagramandmarriage.com and there's a bunch of freebies there for you too. Okay, bye guys. Have a great week.